RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty, tempting treat? I know that you are, and I know you know. This means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and today this show is jamming. We have my good friend Charles Maddox with us, excited about all the great work he's doing. Charles, thank you for being on the program today. How are you?
Dr. Mike, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now you have had a lifetime's worth of excitement, a little bit of a roller coaster ride there. Just give our folks, for those unfamiliar with you and how you got to where you are today, how about giving the folks just a little background?
Wow, that's my pleasure. Well, I started off, just to kind of give you a little bit of background as far as my work ethic, I think. I started off in music. I'm the nephew of the late legendary Bob Marley, so I was actually inspired by my uncle and wanted to do something great, didn't know what it was, but back then it was music. That was probably the easiest thing that I could jump into. So I started off in music, and then from there went to films, where I was nominated for an Emmy Award for Best Supporting Actor for a film of starting with James Woods and Elizabeth McGovern. And so I was always, really active in film and television, music.
And that movie was The Summer of Ben Tyler, wasn't it?
Yeah, The Summer of Ben Tyler. Beautiful, beautiful film with James Woods and Elizabeth McGovern. And so, from there, I had an opportunity to raise my son as a single dad and move to Florida to be closer to my mom and stuff. And came up with this concept called The Poor Chef, which was about healthy, affordable meals and feeding two or more people for under $7. And it kind of really just took off, Dr. Mike, and the rest was like history as far as, where I'm at now.
Well, and that's a very important point because, I often, when I'm talking to folks, it always seems to be a couple of issues that come up. And one of the questions I often get is, hey, Dr. Mike, this is great. I love eating the natural foods. I see the health benefits. You're giving me some wonderful information. But, gosh darn it, I can't afford to go to Whole Foods every day. How do I stretch these dollars? So that economic aspect, I think, is a very, very important point that you address for everyday Americans. So what sorts of kind of tips on that have you learned that you could share with our listeners?
There's usually some kind of fresh market or some kind of outdoor market. I mean, even in where I live in Tampa, there's one even in the hood, where they have unbelievable, beautiful, fresh produce at an amazing price. And there's a bunch of vendors out there, and a lot of it's organic, and it's usually packed, and it's open 7 days a week or 6 days a week, I think. And really just going to number one, planning is key. A lot of times people go to the grocery store, they're just walking around aimlessly trying to figure out what they're going to make for tonight's dinner, grabbing a chicken here and a couple of cans of this and a little bit of that, and end up actually spending more money because they didn't plan out the week. And then also, keeping it very simple. I think that, at times we like to overindulge, and I think being able to keep it simple and find fresh places fresh markets where you can go, and even if it's a little drive or you got to get on a bus or a train and go get yourself some fresh fruits and vegetables for the week and spend half of what you would in a normal grocery store.
Well, I think if you bring up some great points, and it's actually a section of my forthcoming book, Food Shaman, which looks at sort of this whole food experience. And one of the things that I hear you saying, and you do it sort of instinctively because you are a chef, and I do too, is that we source, we plan. And I think the ability to communicate to the public, I mean, they don't have to necessarily you know, touch base with all the purveyors that we do, you know, if we were cooking and ordering for a restaurant per se. But the idea that you plan ahead, that you know what's in season, because as you pointed out, you know, if you've got five vendors growing squash or selling tomatoes, then and they're in season, then of course that price is going to be a little bit lower. And then as you and I know, as a chef in the kitchen, we save everything. I was making something the other day, you know, and I used the leaf of the cilantro, but I used the stems in a marinade because they still had the flavor. You know, we just don't throw things away, the carcasses for stock, you know, all those sorts of things. But I want to move on a little bit in your story, because some interesting things happened, you know, as you were achieving fame with your poor chef and helping folks from the economic aspect, you had some personal things that really transformed your path.
Yeah, definitely. I was, you know, doing the whole celebrity chef thing on all the talk shows and CNN, Dr. Oz, you name it, and cookbooks and sauces and spices. And and I was diagnosed with diabetes probably about 7 years ago, and came as a total shock. You know, obviously, you know, it shouldn't have, because I should have been more aware of those type of conditions. And as a black man, and at that time in his late 30s, you know what I'm saying, not knowing what diabetes is or the ramifications or understanding those complications was very shocking. And and I think the way I was diagnosed and the steps that came after that were really what inspired me to go on a mission, because, you know, I went into a doctor and it wasn't my primary care doctor. It was on a Saturday because I was having some frequent urination and didn't know what it was, you know. And then he came in and said, well, it looks like you have diabetes now. And all he said was, I can put you on medication, and that was it. And I walked out of there, didn't take the medication, and I was terrified. But I think that, you know, because I was sitting there trying to figure out, I'm like, well, this just didn't happen out of nowhere. I mean, it had to be some kind of signs, clues of how did I get to this point? And then all he can say is, I'll give you some medication. Well, what type of medication? What is this for? How am I going to use it? How long should I use it? None of those things were answered. And I thought, you know what, how many other people are walking into the same situation and taking that medication and not even thinking twice? So that's really what led me to want to kind of start this whole mission of advocacy for diabetes and health.
Well, I love what you're doing. You know, I'm a cardiologist by training. And of course, you know, and many of our listeners are aware, because we talk about things like this all the time, in addition to being a chef, of course. But, you know, just having diabetes alone puts you over 7 years at the same risk of having a heart attack as somebody who's already had a heart attack. And we know that is, you know, a powerful predictor for subsequent disease, is obviously having the disease. And there are a lot of other ramifications of diabetes, and sort of I've always been involved with it, you know, from one aspect, from the heart aspect. And, you know, I also, once I started talking to folks and found out sort of their love of food and how important the food experience is, really started looking at the science, you know, tying these things together. Because you talk about, you know, how many folks are out there. We have millions of folks across the world who are undiagnosed, who this weekend may have an experience just like yours. And we talk about putting them on medications. Well, every medication, even in aspirin, folks, you know, a physician is weighing a risk-benefit analysis. So there are downsides to medicines, and particularly when there are other important strategies that we can use to help prevent, to help treat diseases like diabetes, which I really classify as one of what I call the modern disabilities and diseases, because certainly diabetes has been with us throughout history, but the prevalence, the incidence of this disease is just reaching pandemic proportions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what sorts of things are you doing, Charles, that you could share with us that you've got going on to help increase awareness and help, you know, folks kind of get on the train to recovery, or, you know, get off the train in terms of prevention, you know, not even wanting to get on, head down that track?
Definitely. You know, well, some of the things that I'm doing are based on what worked for me, because I'm no doctor, but I'm smart enough to know, you know, certain things. Like when I was diagnosed, what I did was I went home and I started to try to get on the internet, try to find out as much as I could about what diabetes is. I think that's number one. That's key for anyone who is diagnosed with diabetes or has diabetes, is to know, number one, what you're dealing with. There are so many people who have this condition, and if you ask them what diabetes is, they couldn't tell you, or really don't have a grasp of what's going on in their body regarding these diabetes and its complications. As you know, 80% of diabetics die from heart disease, so it's a serious thing. So I really went and tried to educate myself. The internet wasn't the best place, obviously. And then I kind of,
I'm sure you do too. We deal with the University of Google, you know, every day.
Exactly. Because
exactly. And there's just so much problem because there's so much misinformation
exactly.
out there. And particularly, you know, when it comes to food and health. And I think one of the things I really like to tell folks is when I look at really a lot of the diseases we're seeing, increases in some of these autoimmune diseases, cardiovascular disease, of course, certain types of cancers, obesity, diabetes. What we see really is a common root of abnormalities in the inflammatory system. And, you know, so many folks think, oh, well, you know, it's just my sugar with diabetes, but it is widespread you know, inflammatory abnormalities that can cause a host of issues. But there are, you know, successful non-pharmacologic modalities to deal with them. And one of the things I love that you do is that you address some of these for us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I remember I went into, I found through doing the film, I found really, really good doctors, you know, and there are differences between doctors. And I definitely encourage people, especially if you're paying for healthcare, that you find a doctor that really is going to work with you, not just somebody who rushes you out in 5 minutes and sends you to the front of the office with a script. And I found really good doctors. And, you know, I think even one of the things, like you're talking about the inflammation, was my cardiac CRP. And I had no idea what that even was. And mine was like off the roof. And
yikes.
But it allowed me to have a marker of where I was and where I needed to be and figure out how to get there. So the next time I took it, it had gone down to, you know, almost perfect numbers. So I was able to get rid of that inflammation, but I didn't realize the whole situation as far as inflammation. So having a proper doctor allows you to have those tools so that you can actually move forward in the right direction. So you really have to take care of your health. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of me personally, supplements that help lower that inflammation, whether it's, you know, flaxseed oil, fish oil, and I take everything from magnesium to vitamin D. Obviously, vitamin D is key, especially in diabetes and other chronic conditions, lack of vitamin D. So that is key. So I do a lot of that. I'm a big walker. Actually, I'm out sitting in the park right now, getting ready to do some more walking and keeping down my blood pressure. The other day, I actually had some very high elevated blood pressure. I didn't get on medication for it. They wanted to give it to me and went to the doctor the other day. It was like 119 over 73 or something like that. Or 73.
Perfect.
So exactly. So you can do a lot of this with education and information and inspiration. And that's really where I'm at, fighting this fight, you know?
Well, certainly. And, you know, I agree 100%. And one of the things that, you know, near and dear to my heart, pun intended, we always get a couple of bad puns in during the show. Our listeners complain if I don't hit one with a couple of bad puns. And I know it's near and dear to your heart as well as a chef coming from this food aspect is, you know, the importance that a proper diet can play. And you know, I kind of almost hate to use the word diet because whenever we talk about that, whenever we talk about eating healthily, people are already starting to think, well, you know, I can't have this and I can't have that. And it's about restriction. But as I talk about in The Fallacy of the Calorie, which was my book before the last one, something we're addressing, and we talked about a little bit about the sourcing in my forthcoming book, Food Shaman, this food, the idea of the food experience and how it impacts us. You know, the modern Western diet is full of these things that have really not been part of our food and food pathways, except for really the last 50 to 75 years, sort of since World War II. And just, I think actually just yesterday I was reading the Women's Health Initiative, which was a study of almost 65,000 women, found that drinking sugar-sweetened beverages increased your risk of diabetes. Okay, no surprise there. I think that's fairly common knowledge. But what the surprise was, what people are unaware of, if you go to drink the zero-calorie beverages, the diet beverages that are artificially sweetened, you figure, well, gosh, it's artificially sweetened, so I'm not absorbing any kind of sugar. I'm just getting that pleasant sweet taste. This has to be good for me. No, it increases your risk of diabetes by over 20%. One of the things that we talk about is, and it was published in Nature, I guess about 2 years ago, because I included some of the studies that just come out when I was finishing up Fallacy of the Calorie, was how these compounds alter our gut bacteria, and our gut bacteria becomes this pro-inflammatory, you know, petri dish, if you will, and then that inflammation spreads throughout the body. So you can eat really, really well, eat like a chef, source like a chef, but it's all about choosing the quality ingredients. And this is something, and I want you to tell us about this great new television program, where it's going to be on, when it's going to be on, and I want folks to tune in, because diet is part of what these folks are experiencing. Is that right?
Big time. I mean, it really is an amazing program, and not just because, you know, I'm trying to push it or anything like that, because I didn't know what to expect. I knew that we, you know, had a great idea. We had people who were willing, to be honest, Dr. Mike, people who actually, and I know you probably see him too, people who, if they didn't get this type of treatment or attention, you can see that they didn't have much longer to live. I mean, you know, they might live about 10 years, but 15 years. But I mean, the quality of life may not have been good, and it actually might have been even cut shorter than that. And to see them transformed by just the simplest of education, but inspiration also, is something that you can look back and say, wow, you know what, man? I mean, the other day, one of the guests invited me to a baby shower, and her son came up to me. He said, man, thank you for giving my mom back her life. You know,
oh, wow.
And so when you think about that, yeah, it makes you really have to say, you know what, man, we're doing good work. So the same lady, when I met her, she said she didn't like green leafy vegetables. And then she, right before the show, she said she was allergic to green leafy vegetables. Now the same woman, now the same woman sends me updates every day, eat green leafy vegetables. So and she's lost over 20 pounds. She actually came off of one of her diabetes medications just the other day from her doctor. So everything is in the diet. Even if you talk about abs start in the kitchen, not so much in the gym. So diet is everything. And, you know, I tell people, Dr. Mike, I'll eat tree bark if it's going to keep me healthy. You know, living a healthy lifestyle is a gift.
But the beautiful thing is you don't have to. And that's that's what I want to and that joy, you know, the experience that we have. The history of food is really the history of humankind. It's so interwoven in our DNA, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at, how it plays a role, you know, socially, our interactions, etc. You can eat great tasting food, but it's about the quality of the comestibles that we choose. You know, for example, you know, and I'll share with you my diabetic success story. I met a guy. I was up in Canada, and he was a 40s foodie, loved food, but eating probably not the greatest choices in terms of being aware of where his food was coming from, what these qualities were. Read my first two books, decided he was going to follow what I recommended. And as a foodie, has not skipped a beat, enjoying food more than ever. Now off his diabetic medication. When I actually met him up there, he said, you know, I was overweight and the doctors were about to put me on a statin medication, which, as folks know, helps lower that cholesterol. Also probably works by an anti-inflammatory mechanism as well. And he was depressed because he's like, you know, I'm 40 something years old. I'm on diabetic medication. They're just putting me on another medication. As you said, he's like, nobody's helping me. Now he's not taking any medications. His hemoglobin A1C is within the normal range. But as importantly, he is enjoying and just having a great time with life because he's not missing out on any of the great flavors. You know, he's tasting life fully, again, pun intended. And so this is these impacts that you're having when folks can say, you know, wow, I never liked green leafy vegetables because, you know, I got the salad option at the fast food restaurant. Well, you know, that's not really a good green leafy vegetable, right? You know,
no.
But people do, you know, you give the kids, we're going to get the kids a healthy snack at the drive-thru and they give them apples that taste like they've been cured in formaldehyde.
Yeah.
And the kids go away saying, you know, I don't like apples. And so, you know, you're exposing folks, really to great foods on the show, which is called Reversed, right?
Yeah, it's called Reverse.
Okay, and when is it going to air, and where is it going to air? Because I want our listeners to be tuning into this, you know, and with the background of our show and all the things that you've told them, I think they're really really enjoyed and get the message. So, where and when will it air?
It airs less than 2 weeks. It airs on July 18th at 7 p.m. on Discovery Life, which is a part of Discovery Communication. So the best thing to do is actually go to discoverylifewebsite.com, and you could actually type in your zip code, and they'll tell you exactly what station it is on in your area. So you just put in, like, let's say your cable provider and put in your zip code, and it'll tell you exactly what station to find it. So, yeah, so in less than 2 weeks, and, you know.
Well, you've got to be excited. Congratulations,
I am. It's
Charles.
A dream. Yeah, it's a dream that I had, and you know, it came together with some great people and you know, a whole bunch of prayer and hard work and this is just the start. You know, this is just the start. We're hoping for the best because, you know, trying to move the healthcare industry and move this mountain is never easy because a lot of these folks aren't ready for change. So, or don't want change. So, you know, we're expecting the best and we're going to keep
going. Can you give us a little teaser about the format, what we can look for? I know you can't give us any spoilers, but give us a teaser.
Yeah. Well, we take five, but yeah, I met five great people. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't know. And we basically take them to Jamaica. And we
oh man, sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. So we bring in nutritionists, dietitians, yoga instructors. I wanted this to be, number one, and you realize this too, I know, and I'm sure your listeners too, sometimes you got to get outside of your conditions and your circumstances and your influences, right? To be able to make change. So you need to see something different, realize that life is worth living and get a different taste than the four walls at times that we just seem to be encapsulated by. So, and then I wanted to bring them around fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, a different way of cooking, because one of the issues that we have is that people have is that they stick to the same thing that they know. So their food vocabulary isn't expanded, you know, so being able to use, you know, different curries and different spices and herbs and things like that. You know, that's why I always encourage people. I say, listen, you could make anything taste good per se, and it'd be healthy for you. If you go to an Indian Indian grocery store and find some good masalas and things like that to make with your chicken. Go to a Greek grocery store. Go to a Chinese grocery store and find different methods to cook the same type of things that you, instead of cooking the same type of things that we make all the time. So we were able to introduce that to them. I even wanted to make it, like I said, you know, with spiritual, with yoga and meditation and exercise and meeting them where they were and giving them the basic information that they needed to be able to change their lives.
Well, and that is great. And you really, I love the approach because as we talked about, you know, the diet is really a foundation, a center stone there, if you will. But that whole, as you said, the whole attitude builds out of that, you know, what I like to call the food experience, because when we deprive people of the pleasures, the simple pleasures of eating of food, or they don't discover, because as you said, they're just consuming the modern Western diet with sugar, salt, fat, layer after layer on top. You know, that affects your attitude. And we're knowing now what we eat affects our gut microbiome. The gut microbiome produces over 50 different neurotransmitters. So literally, you know, what you eat affects the bugs in your gut, which are affecting how you feel. So very, very important stuff. Charles, I'm putting out here now, I'll be looking in my email for my invitation to be on the
no
next show down there.
I would love you, trust me. We'll
come down.
People, by the way,
we'll come down and we'll do some sourcing, some cookery, and some teaching. So once again, I want to thank Charles Maddox for a jamming. I got to throw that out there. A jamming show today. Folks, you want to check out his show, Reverse, coming up on Discovery Life, airing in just 2 weeks. Congratulations again, Charles. Been such a pleasure. We got to have you back on the show. So give me a verbal okay you're going to come back on.
Okay, and let me share my website. Is that all right?
Yep, absolutely. Get it out there.
Reverse with a D, yourhealth.com. We're looking for new guests to be on the show. We're looking for experts in healthcare to be on the show. Send us an email. So reversed, reversed, yourhealth.com.
All right. And I think if we do something, maybe we'll do some live shows when I'm down there and we're filming. So we'll do some live radio
love
shows from
that.
There too, Charles.
Love that.
That's good.
I appreciate that.
I love it. All right, Charles, thank you so much. And folks, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.